You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Planet FPL, the world where everything revolves around £50,000. It's Planet Square FF, isn't it?
What did you say?
I was just thinking about our intro.
As per usual, I wasn't listening to you. Start again.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Planet Sky FF, the world where everything revolves around. We have a new dress code at work. We cannot do this pod without a fashion show.
Nico, I think you should come over here, mate, and show everyone how good you look.
Come on.
Honestly, come
all
in.
You do
come on,
is
come
introduce
on.
Us on intros.
Exactly. Come round, show everyone how smart you look, and tell everyone the name of the lady that you're having a date with tonight. Celeste, he says.
Celeste.
Which apparently is the name of his mother as well. He's not having a date with his mum, just for clarification.
The world revolves around £50,000. Does it, James?
No, I told you last week it was over. But I've had a pretty good week.
Have you?
Yeah. I've had a
I went
a
up
jump.
From five-ish thousand to inside the top 4,000 by the end of Sunday.
Woo!
Look at me.
Yeah, go on. Tell us about your week then.
I haven't logged in since Monday.
You did make transfers and captain and stuff.
I logged in at 7:59.
No. Okay, and?
Monday.
And?
I'm too scared to log into my team to see what the damage is to my rank.
Okay, so how many Arsenal players did you have?
None.
No, not even one?
None.
For Sheffield United.
I'm too scared. Like, I've got my laptop, I've got my phone, I could log into Sky, and I haven't since Monday.
Okay.
Out of fear. Should we do it?
Well, okay. Yeah. Why
I'm
you
gonna have to.
Why you are, I will tell you that I think the steaming into Arsenal assets was probably not as big as you might have feared. And I think
I've not logged in.
We learned that. See, look, you're relatively surprised. Go
I'm
on.
Back to 5,500.
Okay.
I dropped 600 places. Is that right? No, 1,600 places.
This is the guy.
From not having Arsenal.
So this is the bit where I should probably ask you for the benefit of the listeners.
What was I going to do?
Who were thinking, no.
Okay.
How's your second team doing?
Yeah, I don't have a second team.
You told everyone you was going to go for manager in a month.
I know, but that I did. You told me I'd miss the first deadline. I looked at it. I was like, do you know what?
I am.
I think I'm going to do it. So I'm going to do it in April because I'm going on holiday in April. So, yeah.
Okay. Oh. Fine.
Okay, so look, I got 123 points. The only move I was going to make on Monday was Hwang to Saka.
123 points considering you had no Arsenal Monday night is pretty good.
What have you got?
142.
Okay. I had Areola's 10
yeah.
in goal. Van Heck, only 3 points despite his midfield role. And I thought he'd picked up 90-something passes. He did, didn't he?
Yeah, they conceded three goals, mate.
Yeah, that's a problem. Van Dijk, 10. Your boy, Romero, coming in decent, mate, with 14 points, picking up a couple of tiers there. Returns from Palmer, Rodri and Foden. De Bruyne, not so much. He did get a pass tier, but only 4 points when everyone else is double digits. Doesn't really feel great. Haaland captain and Watkins captain were my two captaincies that I had. So, and a null point from Hwang. Had I captained Saka, I probably would have. What did he get? 10?
8.
8. So I'd have got 16 more. So I'd ended up close to you, 140s. So
and you've got no Saliba or Gabriel either.
Nothing, mate. Nothing.
Did you make any transfers?
No, I was going to on the day. I literally logged in minutes.
Did you do anything on Sunday?
No.
You didn't buy any Bournemouth on Sunday either.
No, I already had Haaland, so I left it. There's no Bournemouth to buy. I know you said you bought Tavernier. No, you bought Zabanyi.
And Solanke.
Solanke. I just didn't see it.
You don't want Solanke for next Wednesday against Luton?
I'm getting get him next Wednesday for Luton.
Okay,
on
fine.
For Luton.
Okay.
Until he gets injured before then.
Okay.
Honestly, that's the first time I logged in, and I feel better now because literally the difference was one Saka captaincy. It wasn't like people steamed in and I got hurt. I was expecting to be like 8-9K.
Well, considering you've scored what you've scored, had no Arsenal and made no transfers, whereas I've made 4 transfers over the weekend just gone.
To get to 140 something.
Yeah, you've actually had a pretty good week.
That's it.
So, it. Well done. Congratulations. How many transfers in the bank, Suj?
Me for your Sky Fantasy advice. Do nothing and miss deadlines and you'll be all
and you done, missing Arsenal Monday night wasn't advisable.
It wasn't. 24 still left.
Oh, wow. Do you think you'll use them before the season finishes?
100%.
Okay, cool.
I don't know.
I would suggest, Suj, you might want to make some this coming Sunday, but as you don't have any Arsenal, you may find that more difficult. So, I scored 142 this week. Areola's 10 points. I added Jost Bukayo Saka to William Saliba on Monday night. So 26 from the two of them. Yeah, you said Zabani and Solanke on Sunday. 7 and 2 points. I brought Heung-Min Son in on Saturday for the injured Hwang. 8 points because I did captain Ollie Watkins for his 30. I captained Haaland as well for his 14. I had Rodri 11, Van Dijk 10, Areola 10, Pascal Gross 142.
The players you sold must have scored nothing.
Near enough. So Hwang obviously 0 because it was obviously no game.
Yeah.
Branthwaite got a 0-pointer at the weekend, sold him on Sunday. Van Heck 3 points, sold him for Zabani on the Sunday. The one that did do very well for me that I sold was Phil Foden, was the player that I sold for Bukayo Saka. And there's every chance he'll be coming back around for me as soon as we get on the other side of the March international breaks. But
Why did you sell Foden? A surplus of requirements now?
I couldn't go directly from Gross to Saka.
Money.
Was a little bit short unless I went from Van Dijk to Gabriel as well. And my conclusion on going Gabriel, the more I thought about it, was the chances were he was going to go in for 2 games. I was going to move him on straight afterwards. For him, therefore, he was going to be worth the cost of 2 transfers for me. What did I need him to score? Well, I needed him without a shadow of a doubt, basically, to get 2 clean sheets. And there's every chance that he will do, right? But it just takes one moment and suddenly you're looking at 2 5-pointers, 10 points, and he's just not worth it with no captaincy or anything like that. So that's why I decided to let it go. And as I was going to say, it felt like, obviously, I guessed with Paul and Fergie on the 3-for-1 pod Monday and we was recording during the game. And as the goals were going in, it was surprising how little impact it was having on our ranks. And we kind of all went fairly conservative, let's say, on Arsenal.
I think it was the fact that after Brentford, you're going to want to sell. You talked about it a lot. It's like, there's just, it's a 2 games in. And even Fergie was saying, he didn't think it was like, if you're talking about getting 3 or 4 players for 2 games, you're multiplying it by 2 for transfers in, transfers out. Would you want to use that much of your transfer budget on 1 game, 2 games, 1 team, essentially, not worth it.
If you think about it, I bought Saka.
And add in the next game afterwards is City away.
I bought Saka, and I'm only 6 points up than what I would have been. Because if I'd not bought in Saka, I'd captain Saliba, wouldn't I? Saliba scored more, so it's 10. True. So he would have got 20 on his own. With Saka, captain plus Saliba, I've scored 26. So I'm only 6 points up so far on getting to Saka. And yet, he's probably going to go for me on Sunday as well.
But he will... But some damage
I'll probably captain him on Saturday as well. So I think the 2 captaincies, therefore, with him made it very justifiable. And it was, to be honest, we was laughing while it was going on, thinking, I think we was all thinking, shit, we've gone a bit lighter here on Arsenal than perhaps we should have. To be honest, with them winning 6-0, got away with murder, really.
Yep.
It's not been really, really bad. And I think that's largely because, obviously, the returns were spread around. So it shoved me up to 277 this week. But obviously, having made 4 transfers, I should obviously have had a good week. There's probably, though, only going to be 3 more for me this forthcoming weekend. That's because I've gone light with Arsenal. It's one less transfer than perhaps was planned last week. There's going to be another one less transfer this week because of that as well. So perhaps a little bit more power for me later in the season. 277, happy with that, but it's going to be a struggle to hit that top 100 now. I've got 19 left.
You said I would struggle to make transfers this weekend. I think you're right, because other than Hwang, all my players play on Sunday.
Well, Huang, so you've managed to leave Huang in all weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus, man.
However, James, now that I've left Huang in,
yeah,
what can I do with Huang? I can sell him, because I've got money in the bank, for yeah. Dominic Solanke on the Saturday, which means I get Sheffield United at home on Saturday.
Okay.
And Luton, rather than maybe going to a player that's playing on the Sunday or Monday.
Okay, so you've missed out on 2 points. All right, let's let you off.
Let me off.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
That seems like a sensible idea to get that done.
Everybody else plays on Sunday, so I'm not doing any other moves, I don't think, James.
And you've got Palmer already?
Yep, sitting there waiting.
Shit.
So in answer to your original question, am I going to use my transfers before the end of the season? Maybe.
Probably. So that's, you're only going to make one transfer this week?
Yeah.
Unless you go extra Chelsea or Newcastle on Monday?
No plans to do that.
Or are you happy to cut off some City?
But to where? Chelsea, well, Newcastle or Luton, Bournemouth? No.
Well, it's West Ham, Villa, Tottenham on Sunday.
Oh yeah, true. I could do that.
But there's no gain then?
No. I'm not going to do it for no gain.
And you've got no Arsenal going into this Saturday?
That's going to hurt.
Good luck.
It's going to hurt, particularly because Brentford have been so bad defensively. Brentford have been not great defensively. Maybe I could sacrifice De Bruyne for a Saka or something along those lines.
So for me,
I think I may do that, actually, to be fair, James.
I've got four players on Saturday. I've got Saliba and Saka from Arsenal, Zabani and Solanke from Bournemouth. Obviously, with the Bournemouth game against Luton on the Wednesday, the two Bournemouth guys aren't going anywhere. So it's only the two Arsenal guys are going to go for me. So because I've got three at the back, it's Saliba forced into a defender. So I think the choices are Tottenham, West Ham, Villa, or a Chelsea player Monday night, but less keen on that because I don't play next weekend, or a Newcastle player Monday night as well. So it's probably Romero in for Saliba for me on Sunday, mm-hmm. and Saka in for probably Bowen on Sunday. And that's probably it for me. And then we start spinning stuff back around on the other side of the March international breaks. Obviously, remember, Man City, Arsenal and Liverpool play on the Sunday after the international break as well. So too to Brighton. It's probably going to be gross to Palmer, I think, for me on Monday. It's probably straightforward. There's a real temptation, I think, to punt something different to Bowen. I like Leon Bailey as a real differential potential grab for these sort of next three Villa fixtures. I think James Maddison falls into a similar category for Tottenham and also offers, for me, a secondary captaincy option when Tottenham play Fulham, because I'm likely to actually go into that day, excuse me, with Josh Sun at Fulham. And it might be that I don't like that, whereas on the Sunday, even the West Ham Villa single game day, I'll have Areola and Watkins. But then also, if I buy Romero on Sunday, then that gives me my secondary option for Tottenham for what effectively, for me, will be a single game day away to Fulham. So I don't see me going as heavy. If you'd have said to me like 2 weeks ago, I'd have thought that I'd end up making at least four transfers this weekend. It looks like it's just going to be three for me. And I think it will be, as said, Romero, Palmer and Bowen. That'll be it.
I'm going to let Arsenal go. I'm going to let Saka go this week, the Brentford game at home.
But I think the position you've landed in now, yeah.
Yeah, I think I'll pick up Solanke on the Saturday, captain him. Your captain on Saturday, Hoops?
Well, what have you got in the bank with Huang?
Three and something.
So you could stick an Arsenal defender in now and say, right, well, that's longer term. And you can get Solanke in maybe for one of your City players next Wednesday. Might make more sense.
I've got no captaincy on the Saturday.
But that's what I'm saying.
Saturday week 16th.
As in what, Fulham Tottenham?
Yeah.
But then you buy something on Sunday, right?
Yeah, that's my plan. That's what I'm saying. So if I had the choice of getting Solanke, Huang can be sold for Solanke. If I was to sell Kevin De Bruyne, for example, should I buy Saka or should I buy a Tottenham player or a player or something else? I need to buy something that gives me captaincy for the 16th.
So who are you? Who, if you don't do anything, have you got any players Saturday?
Not on the 16th of March.
No, this coming Saturday, the 9th.
Oh, let's have a look.
You could just look at your team, mate.
Yeah, Huang.
He's not playing out for 6 weeks, Suj.
I know, but
you ain't captaining him.
Technically, no. Nah,
so you've got no one playing Saturday. So like, who do you think is the best captaincy Saturday?
Saka.
Well, I'd consider doing that then.
but he doesn't help me for the 29th.
I get that, but you could get Saka in for a captaincy. It becomes effective 2-0 if you think he's the best captaincy on Saturday, and then move him into Sun or whatever on the Sunday.
It's a daisy chain. It's an extra transfer for a daisy chain. I'm flush with transfers. It's stupid for me not to do it, I think.
Yeah, I would get the I would go the Arsenal player Saturday, even if it's just for the one game captaincy, I think.
And then daisy chain it on. So I may use three transfers now. And I've gone from not using any or one to three.
Yeah, you have had a bad weekend missing all this shit, mate. Maybe it means you're going to have stuff in hand later on.
Yeah, that's it, right? But not because, obviously, from a points point of view, it's not been too bad.
You haven't
bad.
Done too badly.
Yeah.
Okay. Captaincy this weekend, I'm going to go Saka Saturday.
I agree, Arsenal offensive, just because Brentford have been leaking goals and Arsenal, I mean... There was a lot of talk about the game on Monday night. I know you spoke about it with Clayton, but whether or not it's like, how are Sheffield United so bad? But also, how are Arsenal so good? It's like, which is it, right? But they obviously smashed six. They've been smashing goals for fun. And Brentford have been leaking goals. So I do think Arsenal offensive at Emirates Stadium.
Yeah,
is,
I think
definitely worth
it's
it.
An Arsenal player. I would go with for this one. I would go the offensive player rather than the defensive. Solanke, of course, does offer an alternative.
Yeah,
and you it's can not the, it's not just a bad go. It's Sheffield United at home, exactly. You can obviously go that way. Sunday captaincy, I think, is pretty wide open actually. Between obviously Liverpool, City playing each other, Brighton at home to Forest. Do remember though, there's every chance you won't see the team. Because Villa Tottenham is a 1 o'clock kickoff, so 1 o'clock deadline on Sunday. The Brighton Forest game and West Ham's game against Burnley are 2 o'clocks. I wonder if I get Bowen in if I captain him. I wonder. I think at the moment, if I was dead, I'd have Watkins against Tottenham. I think.
I just see
goals in it.
Who's your Brighton defensive?
It's gone now.
You've got only Gross then.
It's gone, and the plan for me is Gross to Palmer on Monday.
Fine. So I'm not feeling Van Heek with that Nottingham Forest at home fixture, because Nottingham Forest have been scoring in pretty much every game. I think that Man City versus Liverpool is fine to fall back on, because we've talked about that being a 4-4 or something crazy. But for me, it's going to be Ollie Watkins, James. Even if I was to buy a Spurs player, I think I'd go Ollie Watkins.
If you had Bowen against Burnley?
Yeah, that'd be tempting. But I do think Villa have hit a little bit of form again, and he himself is in a such a good run of form. You will give up chances.
I'm second guessing. I'm thinking if I get Bowen in, I'm not going to captain him at home to Burnley.
Why are you getting him?
There is a bit of that. Well, I know why. It's the gain of fixtures. It's obvious, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's 3-0 over some of what I'm selling. I mean, it will be over the Arsenal player that I sell for. It's going to be a 3-0. Stick the armband as well. It becomes an effective 4-0. Either way, it's worth it. Yeah, I think I'll go Bowen, I think. I think if I get him in, I'll go for it. And I might not. I might end up going, nah, I'll go Madison and look at it that way. I think I probably will go Bowen. I think I will captain him. It's perfectly reasonable to still go Salah. We think he's going to play some part for Liverpool later today. I'm sure he'll start on Sunday. Him... Haaland, obviously, Foden's in incredible form. Don't know if Rodri will hit his passing tiers at the weekend. That's a rare one, possibly, where he might got hold of it at the weekend. Defensive assets, you don't want to captain that. Gross is reasonable as well. That's subject to maybe minutes tonight a little bit and your confidence in that. But having had a break last weekend, Pascal Gross probably does start next Sunday. And I imagine Van Heek and Dunk probably will as well. They're both reasonable as well. I think Bowen for me. Because of the fixture, Burnley at home. The reality is, if you get into Burnley's penalty area, they're woeful. And Jared will be there. So I think Bowen Sunday. Cole Palmer Monday.
Indeed. I haven't got any Newcastle or other Chelsea options.
What's his ownership top 1K at the moment?
I will check that for you. We agreed that Solanke for the Wednesday is the best option there.
Yeah.
Not a lot. 48.5.
Yeah, it won't be 48.5 after the weekend, mate. And Dominic Solanke's already in 3/4 of teams in the top 1,000 as well. And I imagine that will only grow next Wednesday. I mean, that's standout, isn't it?
Yeah. We will record before next Wednesday, but it will be Solanke. Yeah,
I decided to go Zabani as an alternative for a cutlery. I kind of lucked out there going Zabani rather than Senesi. I looked at a few different options of transfers looking longer term, and the 0.3 might be quite handy for me in terms of him being 0.3 cheaper than Senesi. And that's why I went there. I recognised there's no passing tears or anything like that. It was just looking at Bournemouth's run, knowing that it's good enough that a couple of clean sheets in there would make the transfers worthwhile. It's probably moving on for me, I should imagine, after Bournemouth play Crystal Palace Tuesday the 2nd. Move it back on from there. And I deemed it was worthwhile. And it also gave me the secondary for captaincy, obviously, if Solanke was going to have continuous problems with his injuries. I didn't want to be landing in a position where I had to buy a second Bournemouth player the night they play Luton and missed the games against Burnley and Sheffield United, which were the two plum ones. And that's why I decided to go with two of them rather than perhaps hold on for an additional Arsenal player. But yeah, be Solanke next Wednesday for the armband.
Cool. Did we learn anything at the weekend, James, in terms of tier points? Anything interesting come up from that? That anyone throwing their hat in the ring as potential players that we want to
have a look at? We always learn lots, Suj. From Brentford-Chelsea, we got a back three from Chelsea. And yes, Thiago Silva didn't play. I think there's a temptation to look at a second Chelsea player on Monday night purely because I think a lot of us will have a lot of players on Sunday. And you think, well, they're not going to play for a little while now. Like, even I'm only coming out of it with two City, Rodri, Haaland, but there's gains to be made potentially from two Chelsea home games. And with City playing Arsenal, you're not that desperate to have it back that quickly. Similarly, we kind of said Monday night is the only real entry point if you do want a bit of Newcastle. So I think a few will go for the likes of Fabian Scherer and Ante Gordon, perhaps, even though they don't play on the blank FA Cup quarter final weekend. With them playing a back three, we have to think from Pochettino's comments that it might have been a one-off. He stressed concern about the mobility in the midfield through fatigue because of the week they'd had after the Liverpool and Leeds Cup games and not being able to rotate that midfield three. But they played a back three finally, which would alleviate some of the problems that Thiago Silva has, which I spoke about on Monday's podcast, and yet Thiago Silva's obviously was not part of this as an unused substitute. And yet Chalobah, with 60, who played at the middle of that back three, was the only one to actually hit tiers for passing. Colwell, 56, and Disasai, 55, either side. Malagusto and Ben Chilwell played the wing-back positions, 50 and 54, respectively. Gusto is not an impossible for me. I think if I got an injury on Sunday, I would consider going there. I realise it's not a long-term one, but it's another enabler that if I go down that route, then allows me, when I want to come off Zabani after that Tuesday, April the 2nd, then it's going to allow me safer back to Saliba, for example. So that's why Malagusto is not completely out of thinking for me. I realise the spectre of Reece James looms to the extent that's probably not a transfer that's going to hold me to the rest of the season. And I think we would like to add more Chelsea because the fixtures are good from this point till the end of the season. Their fixture run after the March international break is one of the better ones to the end of the season. And we know definitely with them there's extra fixtures.
Yep.
They're going to have the most left to play, basically. So a second Chelsea does appeal, but none of them specifically appeal. Gusto is enabling price, which is pretty cheap. He's probably the one, if you were to look into it. He's 6 point something, isn't he?
Cheap.
I'm just going to have a quick check of that. He is 6.8, 0.5% of the top thousands. I don't hate that if people want to look at that for Monday night, and it might be one that I consider as well. Caicedo and Gallagher were the two Chelsea midfield players who hit passing tier. Caicedo 70, Gallagher 64. The two players also hit tier two for tackles. With shot tier for Jackson and Palmer. Palmer is going to be the outstanding captaincy choice, obviously, on Monday evening. Joran Visser shot tier, Christian Norgaard with tackles and save tier for Mark Flecken. Unsurprisingly, no passing tiers in the Everton-West Ham game. Highest passes was Suj, Jared Branthwaite with 55, and yet fat zero-pointer for me and my team. Shots here for McNeil, Beto, and Andre Gomez, despite only playing the final 10 minutes. Ben Godfrey with tackles, so too Edson Alvarez, Mavropanos. Edson Alvarez with a shot here, Suj. Alphonse Areola, 9 saves. From the Fulham-Brighton game, Tosin Adebayo with tackles, Bernd Leno with saves. The most Fulham passes was Calvin Bassey with 31. Unsurprisingly, some big numbers for Brighton defenders. You'll have noticed that Adam Webster was the highest played left-sided centre-back, 126. Lewis Dunk, only 88. That looks better when I tell you that he came off in the 59th minute. Joel Veltman, 85. As you already alluded to, Jan-Paul Van Hek played in midfield, 92 passes completed. Pascal Gross came on for Dunk in the 59th minute. Obviously didn't play centre-back, played in midfield. 45 passes completed. It's probably more than half hour with the added time, isn't it? But that's still pretty nuts.
Can I stop you one second?
Of course
you can, mate. I just want to rewind on the Everton-West Ham game.
Yeah.
With Ariola's massive save numbers.
Yeah.
9 saves. And I was thinking, he's the highest scoring goalkeeper in FPL.
Yeah.
Now. So interesting. Let me check it, because he does make a lot of saves.
Yeah.
Is he the highest scoring goalkeeper here?
Yeah.
Not even in the top 6. That surprised me a lot.
Why?
Just because, I didn't realise the difference in the point scoring. And then the fact that the highest scoring goalkeeper in this game is Onana.
Yep.
So confused.
I think Onana's going to be popular on the other side of the international break.
How is he the most highest point scorer in the game? Like, what's he been doing? Save tiers. But then Areola's been racking up save tiers. Maybe he's just chucked in a few extra clean sheets.
Manchester United go to Bournemouth on Sunday the 14th of April. And I think, whether we like it or not, buying a Manchester United player at that point will make quite a bit of sense. For someone like me who owns Areola, I take the next 6 fixtures, which don't look terrible, and yep. I can see me going to Onana there, actually, yeah. I can see that.
Okay, cool.
Jordan Pickford is another one who might also be popular, perhaps for the next night, Monday the 15th, when Everton go to Chelsea on a single game day. I'm not proposing for captaincy, but it might be the right entry point for Everton's good run. Everton's run after that Chelsea Monday night is really good, and there'll certainly be one extra fixture in there, we know, against Liverpool as well, although that might not massively appeal. Baleba in tackles was the only other one from that game. From Newcastle and Wolves, Kieran Trippier off early in the second half, and only 19 passes completed over that period, quite interestingly. Botman 57 and Cher 53, just short of passing tier. But it was 2 Wolves players who made it in. Max Kilman, 61 passes completed, just got in. Dawson was significantly less, actually, on 52. Toti Gomez on 44. I think João Gomes was a miss for Wolves in midfield, but his replacement, Tommy Doyle, was a good footballer. 88 passes completed.
Decent.
He's high. I think a lot of that is to do with game state and Newcastle, obviously, inviting them on, having scored the early goal. It was a tackle tier for Longstaff and the shot tier for Alexander Isak. I think he, too, might be a nice differential for the end of the season. And might be another one that people want to look at for Monday evening, but I think it's probably only as part of a chain that would involve selling Haaland.
Yeah, the other one that I wanted to have a look at was Livramento, with Trippier being injured, but he's 8.3.
Is he really?
It's expensive, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I looked at it, I thought if he was in the 6s or even low 7s, might be justifiable, but 8.3... Not when you can buy the rights of Declan Rice for 8.1 or Douglas Luiz, or he's in those kind of price brackets. So it doesn't make sense. It'd only be like if I wanted to get rid of Van Hek because I didn't need him for captaincy anymore. He'd need to be in and around the price point of a Van Hek to be a consideration, because Trips is definitely a while, isn't it?
We don't know at this stage.
He's out of the England.
We think so, but we think he could be back for the West Ham game on March the 30th.
Okay.
But it probably, because of the gains you can have of teams at the moment, it probably is a sell.
Yep.
I think if you're selling Trippier and you've got a back three, then it probably is Tottenham or Chelsea, I think, are probably the two teams that you're looking at from that perspective. I think Villa or West Ham overly appeal defensively. Like, I don't mind if people want to punt into like an Emerson, or I think Ezri Konsa is probably the safest one to go to now for Villa. You might get the odds here, particularly in that game at West Ham, but that's not hugely inspiring. I think the fullbacks at Villa are avoidable at this moment in time. From Forest, Liverpool, tackle tier for Dominguez and our old flame Nico Williams from the start of last season. Also for Connor Bradley, who continues to perform quite well at right back for Liverpool, and Ibrahim Konate. Konate also in the passes, 78 completed for tier 2. Virgil van Dijk, 96. As I know, Andy Robertson was on 49 when he went off with over half hour to go. I say over half hour plus the added time. of which we know Darwin Núñez scored in, what, the 99th minute, assisted by a lovely little cross from Alexis McAllister, 57 passes completed, just short of tiers. From Tottenham Palace, save tier for Sam Johnson, a tackle tier for Tyreek Mitchell. Nothing overly to write home about that. Jefferson Lerma the most for Palace passes in 27, but there's some really low ones in here. Chris Richards and Joe Ward playing at centre-back, 15 and 11 respectively. Adam Wharton, who's a tidy player, 6 completed in 71 minutes.
Yeah, and what I can find interesting is a comparison, right? They completed 158 passes in the game.
Romero completed 117.
But Sheffield United, when they got smashed by Arsenal, were at 142. So it's not, it's only United.
Oh, wow.
It's only 14 passes more than Sheffield United. Yeah, but United
is that also
an absolute
because
slapping?
Because Arsenal have got a 5-0 up at half-time.
But they can keep the ball really well.
Yeah, obviously, but what I mean is that 5-0 up, Arsenal got no mass intention to win it back quickly in the second half.
Yeah, but
if Arsenal were to win 10-0 on Monday night, they'd have won 10-0.
Yeah, I wonder how many of Sheffield United's passes were first half versus second half. That's fair, yeah.
It's an easy way to check that, actually. Go on. I'm interested, actually. Go on. While you do that, the Tottenham players, so as said, Romero 117, Bissouma 109, playing the deep line midfield role for Tottenham. Mickey van der Ven 95. Destiny Udogie, he's not one normally in the past. He's got 70, tier 2. Emerson Royal 52. Right back, Benton Coy played as the right-sided 8, 52. James Maddison, more advanced, 53. Dan Kulusevski, 43. The only shots is in the game for Tottenham, though, were for Timo Werner, 3 shots on target, and Christian Romero with a cheeky little shot here. I can't remember his first effort, but I definitely remember the second one. Go on then, Serge, how many passes each half for Sheffield United?
Pretty even, 72 in the first half, 69, they're laughing at the back in the second half.
Okay.
73 right. and 69. So that, yeah, it's pretty even.
That removes that theory then. Right, yeah. Moving on to Luton versus Aston Villa. No passing tiers in this one. Clement Longley was closest. 57 passes completed. Save tier for Kaminsky. Shots here for Rhys Burke, which I think was a double effort that led to Heath Chong's goal. Colton Morris with a shot here. Ollie Watkins was outstanding. 4 shots on target. His first half performance was sensational, to be honest. Matty Cash in tackles. Nothing else particularly to note from that one. From Burnley, Bournemouth. Bournemouth, 116 passes completed, Serge.
Less than Sheffield United.
It's 36 less.
And they completed less passes than a 6-0 drubbing.
Absolute madness. Ilya Zabani, who I bought at centre-back, 11 passes completed. Adam Smith at right-back, 5. Ryan Christie, centre-midfield, played the first half, completed 1. His replacement, Alex Scott, completed 3
in the second half. If I played a Premier League football match, you or me, even for the worst team in the league, I'm sure in one half of football, I've got to be able to complete more than one pass.
I know there was a lot of tactical from Bournemouth to let Burnley kind of impose themselves and hit them on the counter, but that's crazy. You're talking little over one pass a minute for the team.
Yeah.
Chris Metham come on for centre-side after 12 minutes. 14 completed. The most is Lewis Cook, 17. So, and those numbers will be higher against Sheffield United, certainly, and I think also Luton next week. But if you're suddenly sitting there going, oh, which one for the passing tiers? Forget it.
I didn't want to see with Ryan Christie, how many did he attempt passes? It was 5.
Okay, so 4 misplaced. I can't believe that, though.
That's still poor.
In any case.
20% pass.
There were some passing tiers for Burnley players. No, Jordan Bayer wasn't one of them because he's still absent. The two centre-backs, Esteve and O'Shea, 67, 67, 62 respectively. Sander Berger, 64. Josh Cullen, 84. Lorenz Assignon and Berger, also 5 tackles, 1. Braun Larson, who played OOP up front. And Fofana with a shot tier as well. Manuel Benson completed 10 passes, coming on in the 77th minute. Johan Berg Gudmundsson came on in injury time. He completed 8, Suj.
Wow.
That's more than half the players in the Bournemouth team. That's madness. Anyway, I think it's an outlier, though. As is maybe even this one. 8 of Manchester City's 11 starting players completed a pass and tier against Manchester United on Sunday. Rodri, the most, 103. Ruben Diaz, 102. Kyle Walker, 98. Nathan Aki, 85. Phil Foden, 79. Also in tier 2. John Stones, 69. De Bruyne, 64. Bernardo Silva, 61. For the record, Edison completed 24. Jeremy Doku completed 31 in his 59 minutes. And Erling Haaland completed 5.
So Edison completed more passes than any Sheffield United or Bournemouth player.
That doesn't surprise. The only Manchester United players who completed more passes than Edison were Rafael Varane with 26, Diogo Dalot 32, Casemiro 31, Bruno Fernandes 29. The only tiers in the match were Onana save tier and Casemiro with a tackle tier. And finally, from Arsenal's game against Sheffield United on Monday evening, tackle tier for Bogle and Souza. Gerbic did get a save tier, despite conceding obviously 6, saved 4 of Arsenal's 10 shots on target. Only 4 Arsenal players in the tiers, but obviously some big ones. Kivior 73, Odegaard 84, Gabriel 139, William Saliba 167.
It's mad.
They were obviously trying to stop the ball going into midfield, because actually, if you look, I think the giveaway here is Jorginho less than a pass a minute. So it's 59 in 65 minutes. Declan Rice 40 in 74. Probably wasn't going to hit passing tier. So they've obviously just been passing it about the back a lot between them. I didn't watch the game.
Well, that's exactly it.
And I'm pleased I didn't watch it.
They've completed 100 more passes than Manchester City, but half the number of players with a tier, which basically because Gabriel and Saliba have been just kicking it to each other.
Phil Foden is, we've had this occasionally with De Bruyne where we say, oh, he's capable of all the tiers. His involvement, even when he's playing, you have to remember Phil Foden played wide, played on the right against Manchester United and then finished the game on the left. 79 passes, they're looking for him and he's getting involved. And obviously when he gets it, he's so hard to get it off him that you, from there, it's highly likely he's going to complete a pass, isn't he? He's, I know I sold him on Sunday, but he's not a player that I don't want to get back. Let me say that. I was prepared to take him on for the Liverpool and the Arsenal games, but it'll be part of my idea to get back. I think it'll be comfortably Foden over De Bruyne for the running if you want additional City. But I also was not prepared to take Rodri out. If I was in a position where I was like, oh shit, I can't get back, I've got to prioritise other things, I didn't want to be panicking about being without Rodri. I felt that was the better one to keep because of the sheer consistency. Like Foden probably doesn't hit those passing numbers against Liverpool and Arsenal, but Rodri still might.
Yep, understood. Cool, cool. Should we do a few of the questions that we had on the internet?
Yes, boss, let's do
okay,
that.
Okay, let's go to the internet and see what a cesspit is over there.
Isn't it always?
Yes. Sean Godman. I'm not sure if this is Sky versus FPL, but kind of rephrased is relevant. So he says, with the blanks coming up, how many players is enough for the blank game week? Is Son, Watkins and 2 others enough? I suppose framed from a Sky point of view, though, a lot of people will panic transfer to make sure that they've got more players, but it doesn't matter because it's just fixtures in different times. The thing I would say is how many is enough, making sure you've got the best captaincy coverage you can have for every given day.
Don't if you're new to the Sky game, please don't be sitting there thinking you need 11 players for the blank weekend. There's 4 fixtures, and let's be honest, there are 3 teams that are of no interest to us from a Sky fantasy perspective now: Burnley, Brentford, I think even Luton, even with the additional, it's of no real interest. People want to get a bit of a gain of, you know, Ross Barkley because he's got additional games, like I don't mind that sort of thing. Or people want to punt Morris for this period, I don't mind it. So maybe I'm being a bit harsh there on Luton. Brentford I include because I think Tony, for many, will be the best captaincy on Saturday the 16th. But I'm highly likely to ignore it, I think, because I'm going to have alternative captaincy. If it was on a Sunday, would it be, oh, I've got to get Tony for Brentford away if I was sitting there with Son and Romero at Fulham? No, I wouldn't be bothering, actually. You don't have in this format anyone free-hitting. And, oh, I can get to 11 players because I'm going to use a free hit chip or something like that. And the chances are, with the majority of players that you buy, you are going to sell them on. That's the reality here. Remember, there's only two teams that play in the blank weekend who will have an extra fixture later in the season. One is Fulham, and that extra fixture will be Liverpool if it happens. So there's not massive interest in that, and I don't think there's any huge interest in Fulham assets over this period, despite the fact the fixture run isn't terrible in their run-in. They've not just got Liverpool, they've got Man City to play at home as well. Tottenham, we know there will be additional, because we at least know the Chelsea game, at a minimum, has got to go back in there somewhere. So Tottenham's the only one that I think you'd be investing in or you'd keep in longer term, going longer into the season. So consider that. The only players that you buy from the eight teams that play in the blank week who you're liable to maybe hold to the end is Tottenham players. And I include even Watkins in that. Watkins, after, I can definitely see me on Sunday the 31st of March, after Watkins plays Wolves, and knowing that he's got Man City away and Arsenal away in two of his next three, I can definitely see me using Watkins to get back to Salah. Sure, leave him. Brilliant asset. I mean, it might even be the highest scoring in the game at the moment, I think. But can I see me making that sort of transfer? Yeah. Could I sit in there and go, oh, well, he's been so good, I'm definitely holding Ollie Watkins to the end of the season? No, they got City away, Arsenal away. They've still got to play Chelsea, Brighton, Liverpool. No additional fixtures. He may well be expendable at that point, Ollie Watkins. Certainly not now. And if anyone hasn't got him, I very much recommend buying him on Sunday, by the way. But it's only the Tottenham players who might be a you go in and leave. And I think once we get on the end of the March fixtures, by the way, that's the point where we'll start sitting down and thinking, if I buy a player now, are they staying with me for the duration here? Because hopefully we'll have the picture all the way. And we'll end up, right, if I buy a Liverpool player against Brighton on Sunday the 31st, we'd have got that extra fixture there, we've got that extra fixture there. The chances are, if you buy Mo Salah Sunday the 31st or Thursday the 4th, that's probably it. Because as well, because they're likely to be Thursday, Sunday because of the Europa League as well, there ain't going to be your off points where, oh, there's a 3-0 there. It'll probably be Liverpool be probably prime example. Once you go back in, they stick and they stay. And we'll talk about that more after the international break. So, no, I mean, all you actually need, truthfully, I would say for that weekend is Tony or Son and Watkins. That's all you've got to have, but there are gains by going into Villa, West Ham and Tottenham this Sunday as well, which means that there should be more than that. But how many do you need? That doesn't exist here. Doesn't exist. I think most people will have sort of 5 or 6.
Yeah, agreed. I'm looking at the questions trying... So, no offence to the listeners, but there's a lot of questions which are like, I'm at this rank and have this many transfers. What's the highest I can finish? I'd rather just leave that to after the international break, if I'm honest with you.
Fine.
Because it's very finger in the air type thing. What I the only thing I would add to people that are thinking like that is I like to look at how many points I am off the top 100, because you can see the leaderboard of the top 100. Or if you're in any mini leagues with people that are engaged players, and try and find the gap to, let's say, top 1,000 or something like that. And then transfer count, how many transfers have you got left above what the average is, add it. Multiply it by 10, and that's your biggest potential upside. So trying to reverse engineer it that way. But if you try and focus too much on that, you lose track of what's in front of you.
I'm 38 off the top 100.
Points.
With 19 left, and I think it's going to be difficult. Admittedly, one player can change that. Like, if I go Bowen Sunday and he gets hat-trick and I've captained him,
That's
the leap, isn't it? But if it goes the other way
and Watkins goes off
and Bowen doesn't, it's the opposite, isn't it?
Yeah. FPL Rutter, who's the best centre side replacement? He says, yes, I went there. He's already got Dunk, by the way.
Are we working in the price bracket here?
I don't know. No mention, I'm afraid.
Look, I think from the Bournemouth perspective, I explained why I went with two, but I think... It was probably difficult for you to get to an Arsenal player on a Monday night. I'd have considered going Vinicius Souza under that circumstance to chain it on. But again, you might not have been able to because you might have been stuck with a back three. I think in terms of the price bracket value, I think it might be Gusto, you know.
That's not a bad shout. That's not a bad shout at all.
In terms of Monday night and obviously you come back to Burnley. I think the key thing as well with Palmer... I think Saturday the 30th, I think captaincy is probably between him at home to Burnley or your likes of Son at home to Luton. My intention would be to go Sun at this stage. But you bear that in mind as well. After the Burnley game, they've got Manchester United on a Sunday. It's not going to be a captaincy because Liverpool play Sheffield United and you'll see the team and that's off the cards. By the way, that Chelsea-Sheffield United game on Sunday the 7th has moved kickoff time to, I think, 5:30.
Oh, okay.
It's to do with, I think there's a half marathon or something in Sheffield.
Nice.
That day. And so where it's not been picked for TV, it's been moved to after the Manchester United-Liverpool game. So I think it was meant to kick off at 1 or 1:30 and they've moved it to afterwards to 5:30. So Manchester United-Liverpool's the one you'll see the teams now for on April the 7th. But yeah, there's good fixtures there. After Chelsea play United, it's Sheffield United away on that Sunday. Then you've got Everton at home on that Monday the 15th as well. And obviously, those are 2 points that you can come back for Chelsea, no doubt about it. And I think there'll be more interest there. So for most people, it'll be wait. But in a circumstance like that, if you're really tight on the money and it's got to be a defensive player, I don't see that there's anything there, Villa, West Ham, that I'd want. If you can get up to Romero, that's the right answer. If you're stuck on value and it's got to be a defender, it's probably Gusto. Obviously, if you can move to a midfielder and you don't have Cole Palmer, that's the one, clearly.
Last question of the show, James, goes to Sam Williams. A couple of weeks ago, James said...
Uh-oh.
Yeah. He wouldn't accept £50,000 over Spurs winning the league. £50,000, that is.
Yeah.
Which is the first prize.
Do you want me to say it again?
Out of curiosity, how much would it take for you to take the money? And then he says the same question to Search.
I need about another 4 zeros.
4 zeros?
Yeah.
50 million.
Well, no,
1, 2, that's 500 million.
10 million all day.
10 million?
10 million, let's have a conversation. Million's not enough.
10 million?
Million's not enough.
To not
it's priceless, it's priceless, mate.
10 million?
There's no price on at the happiness that would bring me. It would be the best moment of my life if it happened. There's no price on that.
10 million?
10 million is a conversation because that's pure life-changing. A million's not enough now. I've still got to go to work.
It's true, but it sets Harry up, for example.
Whatever.
I feel a bit embarrassed now because I'd take 25 grand.
Such wouldn't even, you'd take less, you'd take 250 quid.
Less than 25 grand, I'd find a way, like if I needed 20 grand, I'd find a way to try and make 25 grand or whatever, right?
But no, look.
25 grand I would take.
In seriousness, 25 grand I think... 50 grand, I'm sorry, it's just not enough. A million, there's obviously in seriousness, there's a real conversation to be had. There's too much money, isn't it? Serious conversation. You start mentioning my kid, I start...
Tax-free as well.
You start mentioning my kid,
remember,
I start thinking...
Tax-free as well.
I start thinking I'm a bad human being.
Yeah, you could set him up in... Wouldn't
Tottenham can still bring me happiness and pain without winning a league title, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got 50 grand, whatever. It's nice, it's great. Chances are, it's all going to the misses anyway, if I ever did win it. Did you hear the opening line I said to Paul Monday?
I didn't.
Missus wants to know if you're single. She said, I'm never winning it, so she wants to know if you're available.
Oh, fair play. Yeah, I think for me, 25 grand, if someone said there's 25 grand in cash or West Ham win the league, I'd take the money.
You're a worse man than me. Did I say man? I meant fan.
Fan, indeed. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of Planet Sky FF. James did mention that he made a guest appearance on 341, which is the FF Hub's Sky podcast. You can find it on YouTube or podcast platforms, wherever it may be. Strongly recommend go back and give those boys a like as well and listen to James's dulcet tones. Talking to some good Sky fantasy football managers for a change.
It's very true, yeah.
Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. I beat you last year. Stay safe, look after yourselves. Ciao for now.
God knows how. Have a great weekend, everyone. Play it your way. Cue music, please. Man Child.
The Fantasy Football Show.
How did you beat me last year? Did that happen?
Because you went gung-ho pre-Christmas. you remember?
Oh, the Man City. I went eight Man City, didn't I?
You went gung-ho.
Killed me. Sports Social Podcast Network.